بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and welcome to this week's live edition of Revival in Motion. This Thursday, inshallah, we continue with our series, a series we began earlier this month, and looking at establishing the morning and evening of Qiyam. We've spoken about how important it is for us to use the shield of Qiyam, of dhikr, of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for us to gain strength and for us to be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who love to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who love to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah, the afkar, the dhikr that we recite, is a means of drawing closer to Allah, and it is a means for us to also seek the protection and help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So last week, we talked about what does the Quran teach us about remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we talked about dhikr and dua, the difference between the two. We also looked at dhikr and timings. Now, we looked at the morning and evening of Qiyam and the benefit, the virtue, the reason why we have the azkar of morning and evening and the importance of this in the life of a Muslim. We spoke also about establishing this in our patterns of living on a daily basis, the pattern of reciting our morning and evening of Qiyam at the times anchored to Fajr and the times anchored to the Asr Salah as well. So Allah make us victorious in this. Ameen. Today we continue in understanding the beauty of Ayat al-Kursi. It is from amongst those of Qiyam, those remembrances from the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in which to remember Him, in which to praise Him. And the Ayat al-Kursi is beautiful in that it teaches us more and we learn more about our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala through it. Through it we learn how to praise Allah. And we learn the divine attributes, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the Ayat al-Kursi, it translates into English as Allah. None has the right to be worshipped but He, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Neither slumber nor sleep overtake Him. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. Who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? He knows what happens to them, meaning his creatures in this world, and what will happen to them in the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Ayat al-Kursi, and they will never compass anything of his knowledge except that which he will. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them. And he is the most high, the most great. So Ayat al-Kursi is ayah verse number 255 of Surah Al-Baqarah. The Ayat al-Kursi is a great ayah because it tells us exactly what is required of us. There was a story of Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu who noticed the day in his garden were missing. So he decided to see who was taking them during the night. And he noticed a young boy, and when he called that young boy, he didn't answer. So he called that young boy again, and he asked him, "Are you human or jinn?" And he said, "I am jinn." Then Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu said to him, "Let me see your arm." And when he saw his arm, it was hairy, like a dog's. He asked him, "Why do you come here?" He said, "We heard you like to give charity, so we decided to come and take our share." Then Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu asked him to give me something that is protection from your kind, meaning from the jinn. And he said, Ayat al-Kursi. Meaning, if you read Ayat al-Kursi in the morning, then no jinn will touch you in harm until the evening. And if you read it in the evening, then no jinn will touch you in harm until the morning. Then Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the incident, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The despicable one has told the truth." So this shows us that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu verified with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they verified with him anything before doing anything. They would not do anything but that they first verified it with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we understand that they followed the sunnah in its purest and most beautiful form. Now, although to require your courses, it is to demonstrate your action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the basis protection from jinn. So let us take Ayatul Kursi in four little parts and look at the meaning and the gems we extract from it. And the more we learn and love Ayatul Kursi, the more dearly it becomes to us. And the more attention we come to the loss of Shabbat and inshallah, making part of our habit to read it daily, morning and evening, and even after it will follow, inshallah. So looking at Ayatul Kursi, Allah will be the Sayyidah. Allah, none has the right to be good.
So we are discussing today on the program Ayat al-Kursi. And the reason we're discussing Ayat al-Kursi is that our current theme is about the afkar of morning and evening, on how to establish this in our lives and how to be those who are attached to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest shields for protection of ourselves physically, emotionally, spiritually is through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the morning and evening afkar which provides that shield to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we had shared a hadith prior to this on the story of Ubay radiallahu an and Ayat al-Kursi. And now we are looking at the Ayat al-Kursi in sections, in portions, understanding what each of them mean and what are the gems within Ayat al-Kursi. So we want to grow in our love for the Ayat al-Kursi. So it is something we are reciting daily, regularly, consistently, so that we are attached to the Ayat al-Kursi and we do not leave its recitation. So let us begin with the opening words of the Ayat al-Kursi. Allah la ilaha illahu. Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but He. So no one deserves my love, my tears, my attachment, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this means I will omit all other idols in my life. Now, you might say, I don't have idols in my life. But idols are not necessarily statues or structures of stone or marble. It means anything I am attached to. That were that to be taken away from me, I would be devastated. My faith would be shaken. That I am worshipping that person's reaction or emotion, etc. It could be status, work, desires, children, spouse, anybody else other than Allah does not deserve my attachment. Now, it doesn't mean that I hate everyone, no. But people often say and believe deep within, statements such as, I cannot live without this person or my business or, and this means I am attached to this. Anyone you claim that you cannot live without, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us that we can live without it, subhanallah. But you cannot live without Allah. So if you want to save your business, your spouse, your children, love them. But don't be attached to them in the way that you attach yourself to Allah. Don't be a slave to anyone else or anything else. So you and I, inshallah, we are reading the Ayat al-Kursi in the morning and in the evening. And we're thinking, yes, I have so many attachments throughout the day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to be free of those other attachments. Let us now see the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that anyone else besides Him would not have these qualities. And this is what attaches us even more, insha'Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one living, ever-living. Our life, yours and mine, our lives, it's not a real life. We have a date of birth and an end date. Everything around us has a beginning and end. Human beings, animals, plants, things that we use have a sell-by date, a shelf date. So why should I attach my heart to something that is not hay, that will not live forever, that is not ever-living? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever-living, who is not preceded with nothingness and is not followed by perishing. Kullu man 'alayha fan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I in Surah Ar-Rahman, verses 26 and 27, Kullu man 'alayha fan. Whatsoever is on it, the earth, will perish. وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the face of your Lord, full of majesty and honor, will remain forever. If you attach to something that will die, it will make you scared. What will happen if they're gone? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to be scared, but to live in a freedom where we attach ourselves to Allah, because Allah will never perish. Allah is Al-Qayyum, the self-sufficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a self-sufficient master. Allah does not need anyone to take care of Him, but we need Him to take care of us. Allah is taking charge of taking care of you and I. When you are asleep, who is taking care of you? Who is guarding you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took charge of all of your provisions, your guidance, every affair in your life. Subhanallah, who is giving you the ability to even lift a cup of water and drink it? When you are blinking, breathing, when the birds are flying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of all of us. That is why the scholars said Al-Hayyul Qayyum is the combination of all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hayyu represents all of the personal attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Al-Qayyum represents all the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of you and I. That is why it is said that Allah and Al-Hayyul Qayyum are the greatest names of Allah. Let's go for our first ad break of the hour. When we return, we continue learning more from the beauty and gems of Ayatul Kursi. Stay with us. A very warm welcome to the second half of this hour, where today we continue with our series, Establishing the Morning and Evening Adhkar. Adhkar is the plural for dhikr, the remembrance of Allah. Many of us may know of it as the morning and evening du'as, for example. And so that's what we're talking about and we're discussing in the context of a remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who remember Him morning and evening. We are currently discussing the Ayatul Kursi. And the Ayatul Kursi is what we are encouraged by the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to recite regularly and to make it a part of our morning and evening supplications. So we have been going through word by word of the Ayat al-Kursi and looking at what it means and internalizing the wisdom of the Ayat al-Kursi into our lives. And as we proceed, we realize the beauty and the depth of the Ayat al-Kursi. So we are on Al-Hayyu al-Qayyum. This is within the Ayat al-Kursi. And we spoke about the importance of these names, these divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from amongst the Asma al-Husna, Al-Hayyu al-Qayyum. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Neither slumber nor sleep overtake him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware, and He is all encompassing of His creation. Imagine we all sleep. And it is said that sleep is authority, and nawm sultan, meaning it overtakes you no matter what you try to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never sleeps. Sleep will never overtake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you remember Allah, Allah is there and He remembers you. Imagine remembering someone, but they are asleep. So why attach to them that value that we often give? Again, we're not saying not to love or to have a cold heart. We are saying, how are we loving? Are we loving others the way we should be loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what we want to ask ourselves. So when we talk about idols, we may not be having idols. Yes, the physical idol. But who is an idol in our hearts, in our lives? لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. All of us belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't own anything. We don't own ourselves, our spouse, our children, our parents, not even our feelings. We cannot be forced to love or hate something. In this life, we have the problem of ownership, and there are fights because of this. If we truly believed that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this would eliminate so many problems. Don't you agree? So it's where we have so many expectations from others. And when those expectations are not met, then we are disappointed. Now, if we want to have any expectations, then have expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because to Him belongs all the heaven in the heavens and the earth. We know from life experience that when we have expectation from others, it will lead to disappointment. If we want anything from any person, then that is being attached. And if we want something, attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a problem, wait at the door of Allah, because He owns the solution, not someone else. Waiting for anyone else brings only humiliation, subhanallah. This is not to say that we should not seek help, medical, social, financial, spiritual. We should not ask scholars, doctors, professionals in any field. Yes, tawakkul, part of tawakkul is effort. But it must always be that we're placing that hope and that expectation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we need to train our hearts in this. من الذي, continuing with Ayat al-Kursi, من الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? No one can intercede without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation, cannot intercede without the permission of Allah. Intercession, shafa'a, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. People might ask, why is this being mentioned in Ayat al-Kursi? Again, because people get attached to others. they get attached to others, thinking that others can intercede for them. But truly, no one can intercede by themselves or through others. Look at the manner it is being mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, man dalladhi, who can try to intercede without Allah's permission? Continuing on, يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم. He knows what happens to them, meaning his creatures in this world, and what will happen to them in the Akhirah. Why? Why do we attach to someone we think is smart or who knows things, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that is seen and unseen? Subhanallah. Allah knows the past, the present, the future. No one knows the details of your life the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Imagine sometimes we get attached to people because we say, they understand us, they get us. Fair enough. However, it is only Allah who knows every hidden secret and detail of our lives. So why attach to someone when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything about us? Why are we not attaching more completely, fully to Allah? Allah knows us more than we know ourselves. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He knows what will happen to us. Subhanallah. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. And they will never compass anything of His knowledge except that which He wills. There are so many secrets in this universe. And don't you see over time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills when these secrets are to be discovered? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not show anything of His knowledge until He wills. Subhanallah. Nobody knows where is the Dajjal or where are Ya'juj and Ma'juj, although they exist now. But we will only know when Allah wills. Only by Allah's leave and permission will we get to know. For example, you lose something in your house, and when Allah wills, you will find it. And we all know what happens. Most of the time, it is right in front of us. Subhanallah. Even the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wills when He will teach us. For example, we might have been reciting Ayat al-Kursi ever since we are young. We can't even remember. We feel as though we've been reading Ayat al-Kursi literally all our lives from such a young age. But now is the time where we are learning more, perhaps, right? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills will happen. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. And He feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them. Imagine the greatness of the creations of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never feel tired from protecting them. So you and I, as humans, so tiny in relation to the heavens and the earth, we are like a speck. Will He not protect us if He is protecting the heavens and the earth? Subhanallah. So the more that we know about this ayah, it really shows us that we only need to be attached to Allah. And the ayat al-Kursi ends with, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And He is the Most High, the Most Great. All of the attributes we have spoken of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the Most High and the Most Great. And this is the Ayat al-Kursi. In it, the beauty in teaching us who our Creator is, reminding us of his power, might, majesty, and awe. And it is to these words that we keep repeating, that program in us, that affirm and embed in us love for our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's go for our last ad break of this hour, and when we return, we continue looking at developing morning and evening routines for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay with us. A very warm welcome to our program. We're into the last segment of this hour, alhamdulillah, and we're talking today about establishing our morning and evening adhkar routines. We've had many of the sisters messaging to say, what does it mean to establish a routine or a time to read the morning and evening adhkar? Well, if we look at it in this way, pretty much everything else in our lives, when we establish a routine, when we establish a pattern in our lives, then alhamdulillah, what then happens is we keep up with it and we stay committed to it. So what we want to be able to do is to establish a pattern that allows us to inshallah continue and be in a state of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Now, we're going to look at a very practical aspect. We've looked at Ayatul Kursi today and the beauty of Ayatul Kursi and the lessons that we learn from the Ayatul Kursi. We're now going to focus a bit on establishing a routine. So much has been our emphasis about setting a morning and evening routine. And for many people, they may find it a bit tricky or challenging to establish a routine. But what I'd like to share with you and run through with you today in this last segment is on a very practical basis. How do we bring in more dhikr, more of the sunan adhkar, more of the morning and evening dua into our lives? Some of us may be studying and working and have families and all of the above. And we all have these very busy lives. But a life that is devoid of the remembrance of Allah is a very empty existence. Wouldn't you agree? So one of the first things, the most important things to have a really good morning pattern or cycle is to wake up early. By nature, Muslims are to be early risers. Everything within Islam itself teaches us to be productive and to start our day with our salah. So starting either with Fajr or, which is even, you know, more beautiful, before that, starting with tahajjud in the last third of the night. So for many people, it's about the challenge of waking up. You're either pressing the snooze button and telling yourself just 5 more minutes, and we know what happens. Shaitan whispers in our ears, and by the time we've woken up, it's, well, the time for Fajr has already left. So what we want to do is to begin to establish early morning rising patterns, and to do that we need to look back on the day before. Many of us want to wake up earlier, many of us don't want to just wake up rushing for Fajr, many of us have this intention to make the tahajjud a part of our lives, alhamdulillah. So where do we start? Well, we want to start with the day before already, not just the morning of waking up, because we want to look at the day that precedes it. So if your intention is to wake up tomorrow for tahajjud and fajr, inshallah, then today, how are you spending your today? Because the way we spend it, what we eat and drink, our activity levels, our bedtime will all impact and affect the quality of our rising and the consistency with which we rise for fajr or even tahajjud. So that many of the scholars advise us that if we are keen on waking up earlier, not waking up, for example, in the last bit of the end of Fajr, but waking up earlier, having time then to comfortably get in our adhkar of the morning, and even to work towards the tahajjud, inshallah, we want to ensure that our last meal of the day is not a very heavy meal. So we want to ensure that, you know, we're not too sluggish, And we want to make sure that perhaps we're not drinking too much of water after the Isha Salah, so that we're not, our sleep is not disturbed waking up for the bathroom. So all of these are very important practical points we want to take into account. So the way we live out our Maghrib, Isha, and the night, the evening ahead, very much dictates the quality of our sleep and rest and how we awake. How many of us are on social media right until we go to sleep? Sometimes it's for work, it's essential, and sometimes it's just a bad habit of scrolling through. So we want to be able to differentiate between the two and make sure that we're giving at least a minimum of half an hour, a minimum of 30 minutes as a buffer between putting our mobile phones or tablets down and going to sleep. When we're going to sleep, how are we going to sleep? Are we taking the name of Allah? Are we reciting our morning and evening adhkar? Are we praising Allah? Are we following the sunnah of going to bed, making wudu, changing into our evening clothes, dusting of our beds? Are we sleeping with our hand on the right hand side? Are we reading our quls and blowing over ourselves? Are we reading our dua before going to bed? Are we clearing our minds and emptying our hearts of worry, jealousy, anger, pride before going to bed? This is really important for us to build and establish the quality of our sleep and rest. When we go to sleep, one of the main intentions is that we are sleeping to gain energy, to be energized, to awake the next morning if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And in rising or in awakening, we want to be able to, inshallah, as an ibadah, that the sleep even is an ibadah, right? So we wake up and that with the intention that, Ya Allah, accept that sleep also as an ibadah. And we go to sleep with the intention that, Ya Allah, I want to rise for tahajjud. I want to rise for fajr. So when we're waking up, one of the first things we want to do is the minute the alarm clock sounds, or the timer, we want to get up immediately. We know what happens in that moment of indecisiveness. The minute we say just 5 more minutes, that's it. So we want to get up immediately. And then we want to make our du'as, recite our du'as for waking up. All right. We know of the du'as, and inshallah, if you do not know of the du'as for waking up, you can find them in any of the du'a books. There are some good apps, such as Hisnul Muslim or Fortress of a Muslim. Search for them online. They're available as apps. Reading your du'as on waking up and reciting the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Imran. So especially if you're getting into the habit of tahajjud, you'd want to recite the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Imran. And that itself wakes us up. It wakes up our hearts and prepares us for the tahajjud or the early fajr. The next thing we want to do, if we haven't as yet made wudu upon waking up, we want to make sure that we've made wudu. Wudu prepares us for salah and Quran. It is our key to that. And wudu helps us, it cleanses us inwardly and externally as well, inshallah. Think about how you feel after you make wudu. So we want to make sure that we are making wudu, and with it we are reading the dua before wudu, saying bismillah, reading the dua while making wudu, and the dua after finishing wudu. Subhanallah. May the gates of Jannah be open for us all. Ameen. Now the next thing we want to do, we've woken up, we've read our dua on waking up, we've now made our wudu, recited our dua before wudu, while making wudu, and after wudu, we now want to prepare for tahajjud salah. Right? And tahajjud has been described as the honor of the mu'min, the honor of the believer. Because who else would go through what you did, leave their comfortable bed and get up, go and make wudu, recite their du'as, and stand up to pray? Now the beauty of tahajjud is hard to describe. We know it's about this feeling of tranquility in the heart and understanding the heart, the Quran better at this time, feeling closer to Allah at this time. And subhanAllah, those who rise for tahajjud will tell you that when they experience it, they will never want to give it up after this. Tahajjud is a beautiful time for self-reflection. We get a chance to really go into ourselves and reflect on our lives and on ourselves. So tahajjud is an amazing booster in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with strengthening your learning and your understanding of the deen, with improving your khushu' in salah as well. And one more thing we can do from the morning routine, bring in the istighfar. In the last few moments, just before Fajr, so the last 5 to 10 minutes before Fajr, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And make lots of istighfar, so that you are among those Allah mentions in the Quran. In Surah 51, verse 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And in the hour of early dawn, they were found praying for forgiveness." This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ And in the hours before dawn, they would ask forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this to us in the Quran, and this for us is an indicator that before Fajr begins, let us spend those last 5-10 minutes seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's an outline, a very brief outline to start preparing your morning, how your day should start, could start, based on the Quran and the Sunnah, with dhikr, with remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll continue next week as we continue building on the structure of morning and evening dhikr routine. Join us next week then at the same time for more. Until then, Jazakumullah khairan for listening in, and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.